It's April 30th, 2015. It's about quarter after 9 in the morning. And I've been working to basically create an outline or a script for my first presentation. And my initial approach was, I want to say what I'm going to do. That goes back to that original. There's a couple different approaches: who, what, when, where, how, and why. But I remember one that was, say what you're going to do, do it, then say what you've done. In the end, it's sort of a lot like a summarization of what you have shared. And so my thoughts were going back to the, I think it's called an ontological promo video I did. I talked about the, I kind of used the film segments from the film The Wizard of Oz. I think one of the things I mentioned was, and I'm not sure if this is in that promo, but one of the things that I wanted to consider utilizing to introduce my perspectives and the material that I wish to share is where Toto goes over and pulls back the curtain to reveal the wizard behind the curtain, throwing the levers and pushing the buttons and talking into the microphone. And to me, that was indicative of, or an example of, the wizard. It was sort of a disclosure of the wizard practicing his craft. And formally, the way I had expressed that was to render transparent the veil of complexity. What was out front and what the group was experiencing in front of the great wall, or oracle of the great Wizard of Oz, it was a show, and it was made to seem much more than it really was. It was a guy behind the curtain with this what would I call that, contrivance. Kind of, honestly, kind of reminded me, and I don't know the exact words, but Eminence Front from the song, it's a put on. It was all show. And in the end, what they each sought from the great wizard was provided to them by the man behind the curtain, and not the window dressing of this great oracle, or the wall, the window dressing of what was how the Wizard of Oz was initially presented to them. So that was the first thing I was considering, and then the second thing, going back to what I just said, what each of the group of seekers sought was in fact provided to them by this wizard. And for the most of them, for the most part, most of them, what they sought was provided to them through the use of a token. And as I had said earlier, nothing was added. In other words, the token was only used as a trigger, and or I think I can also use the word catalyst, but in this case, the token, I believe, acted as a trigger to awaken a potential that already existed in them. And so that was basically the two opening salvos, so to speak, that I wanted to share in that first video that I just want to render transparent. I just want to facilitate their understanding of the human condition, of what we are born into and the potential that represents. And I want them to understand that everything that is possible for them, the potential for that already exists within them. The best that you can do in service to others and myself as a facilitator, and a consultant and offering training to others, that's the best way that I can serve them, is to help them to understand how to formulate their best questions for them personally that will facilitate or enable them to awaken these potentialities that lie dormant within them, and to actualize, to awaken and actualize these potentials that are inherent, that they inherently possess as being present in the human condition. And I kind of reminds me of the one of the speeches that were made recently during Vicky's graduation about we all have a unique DNA, which her interpretation, or one possible indication of that fact, is that we all have our own singular, unique potential of impacting the world around us, of making a difference. And I agree with that. So with that said, I want to go back to something that I was just kind of working on leading up to this presentation, and that was my understanding, first off, of the meaning of token. And of course, that kind of led me into articles about mathematics and even into computer science and computer languages. But the thing that struck me as I was beginning this sort of review of my position on this was, you know, there are, you know, it's epistemology. It's about knowledge and how we anchor, how we embody and incorporate that knowledge into mind, into consciousness. And the thing that struck me was, so I think what I beat cognition, I think, is one of the terms that this delves into. What struck me about that was that without a way to organize that knowledge and later understanding, that awareness, we don't really have a way of retaining and organizing and recalling. It's about presenting. It's about how we represent, how we present to our mind what we call knowledge and understanding and wisdom, and how we represent it in review, and how we represent it when we make connections of that knowledge, understanding, and wisdom to some new awareness. That it's how we connect it and relate it to new experiences and new awakenings, new knowledge, new understandings. And so it made me begin to recognize that perhaps inherent in the human condition is the constant, in other words, the necessity for some form of language. And there's, you know, many different, you know, many different levels of language. And, you know, we talk about universal languages. And I would say one of the highest forms of universal language would be mathematics. And then, you know, music and art. But the thing that struck me about it was, especially when it comes to spoken and written language, is that although the inclination or the constant of the necessity of a language is just that, it's a constant within the human condition, within our presence, within existence of the human being, of the human species, that the forms that many of these languages take are convention, most especially spoken and written language. And that's pretty obvious through the many different languages that exist in the world, you know, at present. And there's many other, I mean, you know, even gestures are a form of language. And of course, you know, you can get down to slang, and that can be very localized to some region or some community. You know, so I guess that's kind of where you get into the tribal level. So with that said, then the higher, you know, with mathematics, more universal, still a convention. But the formalization of that higher level, those higher levels of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, but mainly knowledge and understanding in the case of higher mathematics, tends to be, it is a constant within the presence of human consciousness. But I think that convention tends to be more universal, whereas somewhat lower levels like spoken or written language tend to be somewhat less universal, more conventional. So anyway, I think that's pretty much what I wanted to cover there. The last thing I wanted to cover was, the understanding that while most of my material, the body of my material, is based on ontology, on ontological pursuits, the understanding of the nature and relations of being, in this case of being human and being a conscious presence in the world, I realized that I had to come back to how this knowledge, understanding, and wisdom has the capacity of being shared with others. And that led me down the path of the epistemology, knowing that I would probably need, or it would probably be a best practice to sort of lay a foundation of, although this is what I'm approaching, the ontology, it is necessary for me to have certain tools and skills in order to approach it. And of course, one of the most important skill or tool, and the most important or valuable tool in that, is a way to communicate it. And that's what led me to the epistemology and the value of languages and tokens, signs and symbols, symbology. So with that said, part of that came into some of the early work that I did in the material from Laws of Form from G. Spencer Brown. And of course, one of the first principles that he speaks of in that is draw a distinction, which is later, I believe, from what I've read, sort of led to a form of algebraic mathematics or mathematics called boundary math or boundary mathematics. That led me to sort of review something that I had developed early on, and this is all coming back to being okay. So the concept I was approaching was, as we become aware and as we awaken to knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, we can say that these are, you know, it's what I had termed a constellation of concepts. And these, this constellation of concepts basically has two primary characteristics. They are the point, like the point of a conversation. They are the point of the concept itself. It could be love, friendship, trust, you know, character and competence. It's those points, that constellation, that, you know, these ingredients, this mix of ingredients, what they call the humors, in early times, early civilization, the humors, this mix of humors, that's what makes us unique. That's what makes us who we are. What I later said was, it's the references around which our lives revolve. And some of those references are very primary. They're at the very core of our being. They are the most important. As Vicki says, it's our highest priorities. So what I said was, this constellation of concepts, those two characteristics or two ingredients, are the points, and in this case, the lines. Or the later I read there in boundary math, I think they said they were referred to as edges, but what connects them? And what I said, what I came to was, this sort of reminded me of connect the dots puzzle. Because what happens is, first you begin to identify those points. And that's part of growing and maturing and evolving. In the beginning, we probably have, I would suspect we have very few, but as time goes on and we grow and evolve and mature, those we may add more and more. And as we add those, we prioritize them. What means more and what's more valuable and a higher priority, and what means less, what I value less, and therefore is important, but it's to a lower magnitude of importance. And so in this, we start to connect how these points relate to each other. Like friendship, I think, is a good example. I think a strong connection of friendship is trust. That's just my personal view, but I think that it's quite probable that that view would be shared by others. So what happens is, as we identify these points and we make these connections, following the connect the dots example, a picture emerges. It's the big picture. The big picture allows us to see, to be aware of how we connect to the world around us. We play a part, and we, knowing what is important to us, helps us choose that role, that part that we play, and become most effective and contribute in the way that is most fulfilling and joyful to us. Now, the thing about the connect the dots puzzle was it doesn't have bounds. In other words, it to me, the way I envisioned that, the way I conceptualized it was it's without boundaries. And the reason that was important to me was it's fully scalable. No matter what level you're playing at, no matter what platform you're actively participating in, those, what I call enduring and endearing principles and practices, always apply. And that's why, to me, it was important that I could conceptualize a frame. Well, no, I could conceptualize a way of expressing a structure without boundaries, because I wanted to make sure there was a way of expressing that it was fully scalable. Now, to the complement of that was the jigsaw puzzle. And the reason I chose that was because of a number of things that I ran across during my research. One thing is it's framed. And so it represented to me an operational platform. It was unlike the connect the dots, it was framed. And so at least at some level, it was defined as having a finite number of pieces, of elements, of ingredients. And the way I looked at that was an operational platform can be, I put many levels. Of course, the individual is the primary element, but then it was family, friends, work or career, community, a country. You know, at each level, we are a participant within this framed operational platform. And these pieces in these parts, these individual components, they mutually support each other. And of course, that's visually represented. That's materially, that's concretely represented when you start to fit the pieces of the puzzle together. It's pretty easy to visualize and conceptualize how these pieces fit together and support each other in their framework. So let's take an organization or a company. For me, you know, I was thinking about, again, the big picture emerges as you fit these pieces together. And I was thinking about, conceptually, about how we construct. And one thing that's pretty easy to construct, to put together when you're dealing with a jigsaw puzzle, are the edges. Very pronounced different. There's a very easy to distinguish because of the pronounced difference of having a flat edge versus the normal irregular shapes of pieces that are in the body of the jigsaw puzzle. That's the boundary. And of course, that led me to the whole concept of boundary mathematics. And of course, that's the foundation of the laws of form, draw a distinction. And that's the, you've cleaved, you've cleaved space and you've created an inside from the outside. And that's basically what this jigsaw puzzle conceptual model represented to me. And so the other thing that struck me was within, so it's easy to frame it. So like I said, you know, if it's an organization or a company, there's so many souls in this case, so many participants that work within that are associates of that organization or that company. And so that's the operational platform. That's setting the stage. The stage is, you're framing the stage. That's the boundaries of the area, the realm of performance. Each of those individuals within that organization, they're on that stage and they're giving their performance. They're presenting their performance. So another thing, another characteristic that I found, and this is, I don't know if I call this clustering, but from game modeling and from modeling as a whole, I sort of learned a little bit about this. I was able to understand the terminology of what I had recognized earlier, but didn't really have terms to describe it. So anyway, within the jigsaw puzzle, not only is the boundary usually easy to identify and over time to assemble, to fit together and understand the connections, but usually within the picture itself, the big picture, there's usually areas of similar characteristics. Like if it was a cityscape, there might be a billboard, and it would be could be somewhat easier to get that one section, or what I just called the cluster, that might be easy to get that one cluster assembled because of the similarities of the pieces, perhaps in color. And I think the same is true of organizations. You know, one way you could look at clusters is you have accounting, you have marketing, you have sales, you have warehousing, you have production. So that would be one form of clustering. Another form would be more social clusters, where people are drawn together because of their temperaments, and they may or may not be associates in the same operational unit or department, but they have found each other because of their exposure to each other, and they've made connections. So this, basically this part of it is all about networking. And of course, those are, they can be loose associations or they can be close connections. There may be strong ties between those individuals. So anyway, I don't know how much of that I may or may not approach during the initial presentation. Again, because I need to keep it short. I want to keep it to 10-minute segments, give or take. But that's sort of the primary foundational work that I'm doing in preparation for presenting this, for producing this first presentation, this first video. And so I just have to understand that first initial approach, and of course it has to be an invitation, and how much of this I'm going to cover in the first presentation, the first video, and how much I'm going to pick up on it from there on. And the one thing in closing that I want to mention is what I recognized. I was trying in my earlier efforts of dissemination, I was working perhaps from the model of dissemination of a sequential, like breadcrumbs, you know, where I was going to lay each breadcrumb down that would be that particular concept that I was either introducing or expanding on in that particular presentation, and perhaps, you know, review or expose or introduce how that concept related to other concepts. Again, it was more of a sequential model that I had thought of at that time. But when I took that course in modeling, he talked about how this is his, the way this course was set up, it's more like going to a zoo. And it was sort of arbitrary, you know, where you started. You could start here, you could start there. And starting with the drafts really wouldn't take anything away from then next looking at the lions or the tigers. You know, the order in which you viewed it wouldn't really impact what you could, what knowledge understanding you could gain from that experience. And it goes back a little bit to the laws of form, where he said the order of what's being presented, I think he said, is critical. I'll have to look at it. But the order in which it's presented is somewhat arbitrary. And so basically what this led me back to was kind of like the constellation of concepts that connect the dots. What I was thinking was, it doesn't really matter. I want to do it in little bite-sized pieces just to introduce and share that concept. So that's that point, you know, within the connect the dots, within the connect the dots structure. And then it doesn't, to me, I realize it really doesn't matter so much where, it doesn't have to be sequential. It doesn't matter which points they get or which points are first offered for sharing in the videos, in the presentations. Because over time, if they continue their quest, they'll be introduced to the concepts and that imprint, that initial, what's that word I'm looking for? That initial, the initiation, that's it. The initiation of that awareness will begin. And then if they pursue it and they go through additional presentations, those points will begin to accumulate and the connections between them will begin to be made by them, partly from their own past experience, partly from the material itself, and helping them to understand, you know, sharing my own perspectives of how these points are related or connected, and partly from hopefully their own experimentation, observations, and experiences, so that they can better understand the connections that they recognized from their own past experiences, perhaps some mistaken connections that they may have formulated, understand in more depth the connections that I bring to their attention, I offer through the material, and how they may or may not be. It's, again, this is what I suspect is true. It's up to you through your own experimentation, observations, and experiences to attempt to falsify and thereby either falsify it or verify it for yourself. And lastly, again, going into the future, it helps them to understand better how to formulate their own experimentation, observations, and experiences. So this all comes back, in closing, in summary, to the power of the question. And that's really what I'm focusing on in the material. It's bringing their attention to the fact that I don't seek to offer answers to others. I don't think there is a pat answer. That's my, you know, one size fits all. That does not exist. I think it's a very individual process to become self-actualized and to live an extraordinary life for themselves. But the first thing is to seek it. And the way, one of the, well, to me, the primary way that you seek it is you start to understand how to ask quality questions for yourself. And so in the end, that is the foundation that I'm, is my intent to help others to build for themselves. It's the, it's a tool to help them to acquire, well, to help them to understand the value of the tool and then acquire it, and then help them to understand how to start working with the tool to develop their skills so that they can, you know, they go through the initiate, the apprentice, the journeyman, and the master, so that in the end they can master that tool. Well, I guess that's all for now. Signing off.